time to talk football. Patriots taking on Matt Patricia and the Detroit Lions this weekend. To get some insight on what to expect on Sunday, we're joined by our friend Christopher Price of Boston Sports Journal. Chris, good afternoon.
Rich, you can always bring me in with a little David Bowie, Young Americans, man. That's perfect. One of my favorite songs. I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing fantastic now that you're here with us. And, let's start with the big news of the week, the Josh Gordon acquisition. Desperation move or a stroke of brilliance?
I think it's a little bit more of the former than the latter, at least at this point, at least until we see Josh Gordon on the field doing things that we saw maybe from him in 2013. If we see the 2013 version of Josh Gordon, then you could call it a stroke of brilliance. But right now, I think it's probably more of an act of desperation of a team that really needs a boundary presence, or as you know, at least we saw over the course of the first two games, is sorely in need of a boundary presence. This is a team that really has struggled to connect when it comes to the deep ball over the first two games. They've struggled to really get any sort of offensive traction, at least in the passing game. And look, a lot of that's going to be rectified when, you know, Julian Edelman comes back after week four. But, you know, in the meantime, you need as many capable folks as you can. And Josh Gordon, again, if he's, you know, the head is screwed on straight and, you know, he's doing everything that he should be doing, it could be one of those guys. So we'll see.
And I look back to last weekend of the game with Jacksonville. If it's possible for a guy to go 24 for 35 for 324 yards and two touchdowns and still feel empty, that's kind of what it felt like with those numbers from Tom Brady.
Yeah, it did. Look, Brady, we've talked any number of times about his brilliance, and he remains one of the best, if not the best, to ever play the game. But yeah, I think that's a pretty fair statement, a pretty fair way of looking at it. When you consider the outcome of what happened on Sunday against the Jaguars, those numbers do look a little bit empty, you know, for lack of a better term. So, look, they need someone to break things up a little bit, you know, to kind of... I heard a colleague of mine use this analogy a little bit earlier in the week. It's like, you know, it's playing a game of pool. It just kind of shake things up a little bit. You know, you need to kind of spread the table. And Josh Gordon might be that kind of guy who is capable of spreading the table. We'll see. You know, his track record is spotty, at least over the last couple of years, to be generous. But if he, again, is a guy who can come in here and buy into the program and be the kind of guy they think he's capable of being, you know, he might be, you know, he might be a positive contributor in the long run.
Let's talk about some of the injuries. Some good news. It sounds like Cyrus Jones will be back. Because of that, does that mean we're less likely to see Patrick Chung on Sunday?
Yeah, I think that tells you, I don't want to say all you need to know about Patrick Chung's history, or not his history, but his injury situation. He was not at practice Wednesday. He was not at practice today. And history, tells us that if a guy is not at practice on Thursday, chances are good he is not going to play in the game on Sunday. Patrick Chung and Trey Flowers were both missing today with concussions. And so I imagine they want to kind of, you know, treat those with as much care as possible, at least going forward. So I wouldn't look for either Chung or Flowers to be playing this week for New England.
We're talking with Christopher Price of Boston Sports Journal. Well, let's take a look at that Lions offense. We know very well what LeGarrette Blount can do, but the tough thing, the challenge for the Patriots, you've written, will be to stop that pass game, led, of course, by Matthew Stafford, a terrific receiver in Golden Tate. And as you've written, this is very much a vertical as opposed to a horizontal passing game.
Yeah, and that's not to say that, you know, Golden Tate isn't a vertical receiver, but he's more of a catch-and-run guy. Very, very dangerous with the ball in his hands, very, very dangerous with the ball in open space. And so he really kind of fills that role. He's one of the best. You run down a list of guys each year in the NFL, the truly special wide receivers, and he is consistently an underrated presence. And I think we're going to see that on Sunday. That the guys who really have popped to me over the first two games after rewatching, you know, those first two Detroit Lions games over and over again, are Galladay, a big physical receiver who knows how to use his body, as well as Marvin Jones. And, you know, Jones is more of the vertical presence, the traditional deep ball threat. There's a lot of different guys in that passing game to account for, and it's all led by Stafford, a guy who Bill said the other day is one of the best downfield throwers in the game. So Patriots pass defense is going to have its hands full. The run defense, you know, you look at that Detroit running game, it's not so great, honestly. You know, and we all know and love LeGarrette Blount, but They've had trouble moving the ball on the ground the first two games. So the focus on Sunday is going to be about containing that aerial attack. And so a lot of that is obviously going to fall on the shoulders of that secondary.
Will they play aggressively, or will they tend against an offense like this to sit back a little bit?
I think they're going to sit back a little bit for a couple of reasons, not the least of which they're not going to have Trey Flowers. And, you know, from what we've seen over the first two games, he's the guy who moves that passing attack. And so if you don't have Trey Flowers and you have a more of a pass-based offense, I say, you know, you come out, you run a lot of nickel, maybe even a little bit of dime, and you flood the middle of the field and you make it as hard as possible for a guy like Stafford to connect with those guys. So I wouldn't put it past the Patriots to dial up some pressure on occasion, but I would expect more of a conservative approach, at least when it comes to getting after the quarterback this time around.
So who has to have a good game defensively for the Patriots?
Boy, that's a good question. I'm going to put it on the shoulders of the secondary. We know Gilmore has played very well over the first two games, but you know, there's been a drop-off, both at safety and the rest of the cornerbacks, you know, the first two contests of the season. You're going to need to see a good game. Is Eric Rowe capable of a bounce back after getting benched in Jacksonville? Can, you know, J.C. Jackson or Keon Crossan assert themselves at the cornerback position? Is Jason McCourty going to end up playing, you know, cornerback or safety? There's a lot of questions there, and I think a lot of it is on their shoulders, at least at this point, when you're talking about trying to slow down that Detroit passing game.
On the defensive side of things, the Lions have done a good job of getting to the quarterback. 8 sacks through the first two games. They've got a tough defensive tackle in Williams. Kennard out there at the linebacker is a terrific pass rusher. What's going to be the biggest challenge for the Patriots' offensive line?
Rich, you hit it right on the head, is containing that pass rush. If there's one thing that they do well, that front seven of Detroit does well, it's getting after the passer. They have some, another couple of guys over there, including Ziggy Ansah, when he's healthy. He can be an absolute handful to deal with. It's about giving Brady time. I'm not saying that we're going to see a lot of deep balls, but, you know, we're going to see some of that quick passing stuff that we've seen, really, over the first two games for Brady. It's not so much of a deep ball attack, but, you know, getting the ball out as fast as possible. James White, Philip Dorsett, Chris Hogan. You're not going to see Brady hold on to the ball all that long because, again, they do have that difficult pass rush. The one thing for New England, though, that Detroit run defense is not that good. You know, I'll bottom line it for you here. It's not that good. This would be, at least on paper, a game to see an awful lot of Sony Michel. This presents itself as a possible breakout game for the rookie. So we shall see. But I'd expect to see a lot of running for New England, especially if it gets that lead early, they want to control the clock.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to ask, too. Is it important for them to establish that run with that notion that the best defense is keeping your offense out there on the field?
Yeah. You know, that's a perfect point, Rich. It really is when we talk about this game, because you want to be able to control the clock. You want to be able to control the momentum every time out. But it's especially the case when you talk about a quick strike offense like Detroit. So this, at least to me, strikes me the kind of game where you try and get that lead early with a little bit of quick passing. You know, you maneuver down the field, you lean on guys like James White, Rob Gronkowski, Chris Hogan, those types of options in the passing game. Then you get that double-digit lead in the second half, and you hit them with a heavy dose of the run game, which should be, you know, the plan, because, again, that Detroit run defense has been pretty substandard this year.
Matt Patricia off to a rough start as a head coach of the Detroit Lions. Does he need this game more than the Patriots do?
You know, that's a great question. And I talked to an NFC scout for a story that should be going up either tonight or tomorrow for Boston Sports Journal. The thing that you like if you're a Lions fan is the second half of that game last week against the Niners, where they fell behind early and they were in a real hole. And you started to think, well, you know what? This team has already given up on Matt Patricia. Second half, there was a lot of fight in that group. And I thought that really bodes well for down the road. Not saying that they have a shot here going into this. Well, of course they have a shot, but I mean, it's you look at this game on paper, and it should be a New England win, but I think Patricia is okay if they continue to show that level of commitment that they showed in the second half of that 49ers game. They're building something that's just going to take a little bit of time, a little bit longer maybe than we anticipated, but based on what we saw in the third and fourth quarter against the Niners, it looks like at least initially they're headed in the right direction.
Is this Patriots team a vastly different team when Julian Edelman comes back?
Yeah, it really is. I tweeted this out, Rich, the other day, and I think it's really important to remember The Patriots have not had Edelman, Gronkowski, James White, and Tom Brady together on the field at the same time since November 27th, 2016. Now, I don't expect Julian Edelman to come back and all of a sudden catch 10 passes for 100 yards and be the kind of guy that we saw at the end of the 2016 season, for example. But this is a guy who makes the offense go. This is a guy who moves the chains. This is a guy who has a great connection with Tom Brady. I'm not saying it's going to, you know, erase all of the difficulties or some of the difficulties that this offense, you know, has to deal with on occasion. But it certainly will give them a jolt. They'll be pointed in the right direction once again. I firmly believe that when Edelman comes back.
Nobody breaks it down like Christopher Price of Boston Sports Journal. Chris, as always, appreciate you making time. Enjoy the game this weekend, and we'll check in with you again soon.
Sounds good, Rich. Take care, and we'll talk soon.